we have in studio with us Miss Joanne Brooks. Miss Joanne Brooks, I can have told that, you know. I could have said that. And this is Brittany, is it?
Yes.
Brittany Peters.
Yes.
Ladies, good afternoon and welcome to The Overdrive. Welcome to Freedom 106.5. Happy to have you guys. I understand you're no stranger to this thing. So,
yes,
let's have some fun for the next hour.
Excellent.
As we discuss some serious issues with this proclamation amendment bill in terms of immigration. Mm-hmm. Just giving a brief synopsis. I mean, I spoke about you guys before you all came into studio because I had a lot to read and a lot to educate them. So they both know who Joanne and Miss Brittany is. But let's start off with you, Miss Joanne, giving them a little synopsis of who you are. You are the head of...
Yes, I'm the... Well, firstly, good afternoon to the listening public. Mm-hmm. David, so happy to be here. I'm a fan of your station. So, yes, it's a pleasure for me to be here.
Which is
not
to say
as
a fan of my show, yes, but wait. Yeah, true.
And your show. Right, so about me, I'm a career diplomat. Mm-hmm. I've worked for 15 years with the Ministry of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our ministry, we do extremely important work, you know, ensuring that Trinidad and Tobago, our nationals abroad are well looked after. Our foreign policy is always in the interest of Trinidad and Tobago, doing what's best for our citizens. You know, the developments is extremely important. Those mm-hmm. relationships we have within the region and internationally are extremely important. And, you know, our workday is taken up with that remit, ensuring that we represent Trinidad and Tobago to the best of our abilities, whether at home or abroad.
Or abroad. Miss Peters.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I'm also happy to be here. And yes, my name is Brittany Peters. I am the CSME specialist in the CSME and Diaspora Affairs Unit in the ministry. And I have been with the CSME unit for about 3 years now. So I'm happy to be here and shed some light on this topic.
Now, as we talk about the CSME, people mightn't understand what it means. Mm-hmm. So it simply means the CARICOM single market economy, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
What is CARICOM single market? When you say single market...
All right. So the CARICOM single market and economy was established through the signing of the revised Treaty of Chagaramas in 2001. It's a regional arrangement between CARICOM member states for the promotion of economic integration, regional cooperation and development by allowing the free movement within the region of the factors of production. That is capital, goods, services, labor, and technology, while reducing barriers to trade and creating a larger market for our goods and services.
So in layman's terms, it simply means that I can go to Barbados or Grenada and work without a permit, and their nationals can come here and function as such?
Okay, well, that's a specific pillar of the CSME, and you're talking about the
free movement
regime.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what I was getting to.
Yes, yes.
So that's basically what it means. Is it like that?
So the free movement regime is an arrangement between participating member states that allows for the free movement of skills between participating member states. So you can live, work,
outside
also,
of Trinidad,
yeah,
or outside of
Trinidad,
your national country.
Yes, outside of your country, with your family in any of the participating member states.
Of course, with applying for a skill certificate. So instead of a work permit, you'd have to apply for a skill certificate at the Ministry of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs, and that is the document that allows you to get these benefits.
So that skill certificate that we are speaking about has to do with if you're a mason, carpenter, like my good self as a radio presenter.
Right.
That's considered a skill. I know you all. I'm just asking briefly. We're not digressing too much from our talking points, but I'm just asking. Is that what it means?
Yeah. There are now 12 agreed categories for free movement.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Right.
So if your skills fall into
one of those categories,
you're good.
Then you can apply for a skill certificate, and you can use that skill certificate to seek or be employed in any participating member state.
For example, as a radio presenter, you'll fall under the category of artist.
Oh, okay. I have to present this certificate when I touch down at the participating CARICOM nations?
Very much so. And all of the processes are harmonized. So at the moment, any national of a CARICOM member state can enter another state and get an automatic 6 months. With a skill certificate, within that 6 months, once it's verified by the competent authority, mm-hmm. that's in Trinidad and Tobago, the competent authority is the Ministry of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs. Mm-hmm. Once that skill certificate is verified as authentic, then you have the right to live and work in that country indefinitely.
All right. I believe we touched a bit briefly on the explanation of the proclamation legislation mm-hmm. and the importance and the benefits of Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. So if you want to elaborate on that a little more, the benefits that we get from it as mm-hmm. our talking point two here on our listing.
Okay. Right. So some of the benefits would be, well, as we said, there's no need to get a work permit to work in another CARICOM participating member state.
Mm-hmm.
It provides for the mobility of skills needed for business to grow, because we have to see it from a business perspective as well. This is all about development and assisting the economies of the region to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So from a business perspective, they need a variety of skills to grow their businesses. So, for example, Trinidad and Tobago, we are very well educated, and we have, I'd say, a comparative advantage in the oil and gas sector.
Yes.
Now that Guyana and Suriname have discovered a large quantity of oil, they may need those skills mm-hmm. in those countries. If you're Trinidad and Tobago national and you want to seek work in Guyana or Suriname, you get a skill certificate if you fall under one of the categories. Most likely it will be the category of university graduate.
Mm-hmm.
You apply for a skill certificate and then you're free to work in that country. So those companies who need those skills to grow their business, there's a pool in the Caribbean that can now feed into that process.
Just a little off the our topic here, mm-hmm. and how does that assist CARICOM nationals with housing? So is it that when I go over there or they come here and GML decides that we're going to take on this announcer, this mm-hmm. radio personality, this artist,
mm-hmm.
Is it that the company is responsible for housing, or is it that our nationals or nationals across the diaspora are responsible for their own housing?
Correct. You more or less get national treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So you can purchase land, you can purchase a house, you can
Rent a house. But you're responsible for that, not
you
the company.
Right, that's it.
But there's also another option called the right of establishment, where a company can also, for example, GML, say you were a radio host in Barbados and they wanted you to come and work in Trinidad, they can apply through us to get you to come under technical staff or managerial or supervisory staff. That is also a work permit sort of arrangement, but they make the arrangements for you. So the skill certificate, the onus is on the person, but for rights of establishment, the onus is on the business.
For rights of establishment.
Yeah, for rights of establishment.
But housing,
mm-hmm.
that's on me.
So yeah, that's on
I'm
you,
coming
yeah.
to Trinidad
yes.
for this,
mm-hmm.
for this, to take this job opportunity. I know I have to check out to see where I can get an apartment rented.
Correct.
Or if I have sufficient funds
yes.
and I can
yes.
purchase a home. If I can't purchase a
yes.
home,
mm-hmm.
Home, I can get
enough. Rent.
But I have to do that on my own
yes.
and be able to traverse and get to
yes.
the one from, okay.
But you see how that adds to the economy as well.
It does,
someone
it
coming
does.
In to work, you know, they're either renting, they're buying a car, mm-hmm. they're going to restaurants, you know, there's a knock-on effect across the economy.
Yes.
And how long has this been in the making?
So this has been in the making for approximately 17 years or so. Yeah, so heads of government would have agreed to the additional categories of skilled workers in 2006 and 2007 and also in 2018. But, you know, we were able to get it proclaimed in this year, on the 28th of February, 2023. And, you know, it's a really exciting development. You know, we have finally fulfilled our obligations under the revised Treaty of Chagramas and have complied with the decisions of heads regarding the free movement regime.
And one important fact why it was so essential that we complete this legislation is that when Trinidad had legislated for five categories, heads agreed to seven additional categories. And other countries had legislated for it, but Trinidad and Tobago had not. It meant that our nationals were at a disadvantage because the CSME unit in the Ministry of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs could not take applications under those additional seven categories. So our nationals were did not have that opportunity. So now they do have the opportunity, and we have seen an uptick in applications. You know, it's an exciting thing, especially if you're young. You know, you're youthful. You want to take advantage of all the employment opportunities. I mean, we have 1.4 million in the region. If you include Haiti, it's 12 or 14 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big catchment area for you to look for a job. You know, and then it's building the regional economy. We are not losing people like to North America or to Europe. We're keeping it within the region. And we're also building a dual identity. I'm a Trinidadian, but when I go to Jamaica, I feel completely at home. And I go to Guyana or I go to Barbados. So we're building our Caribbean identity.
Well, that brings me to my next question before we take our break for the news. What are the countries involved in this? I mean, is not everybody involved?
Yes. I'll list the countries for you. It's Antigua and Barbuda, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Lucia, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Suriname.
Who did we miss from the Caribbean?
Well, you have to have signed the revised Treaty of Sagarama. So Bahamas didn't sign. Isn't signed on to the free movement regime.
I didn't hear if you said Jamaica was in there.
Yes, Jamaica is definitely in there.
But the Bahamas did not.
Yes.
All right. So is it that we could reach out to them? Is it a situation where it doesn't benefit them? What do you all have any information on that? I know that's all for our listing, but of questions. But just your thought.
I mean, Bahamas, other than the free movement regime, I think they're fully committed to, you know, regional integration and CARICOM.
They're
fully CARICOM participating country, and you know, they just decided that they weren't going to participate in this region.
Maybe at this time. How are we faring with nationals of other Caribbean islands coming here? Are you all seeing a lot of applications coming through?
We have some stats for you.
Yes.
Well, this is good.
So we took stats for the period for 5 years. So for the period of 2018 to 2023, so the CSME unit has issued 1,741 skill certificates. So that's from our side. But coming in, there have been 205 nationals over the 5 year period. So there's actually more of us going out than those coming in.
Yes, and that is something that I wanted to stress to the listening public as well. You know, Trinidad and Tobago, we've been blessed with natural resources. We have a highly educated population. And so we have one of the largest manufacturing platforms. So we have been a net beneficiary of this CARICOM integration movement. If you go to any of the islands and go to the grocery, you'll see mostly products from Trinidad and Tobago. Our companies have done very well across the region as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is all part of it. This regime is based on the principle of reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
So our nationals go out, nationals come in. This is a system of orderly migration so that, you know, someone will come, take up a job, lend their skills to developing the economy, and then they pay their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is one of the most important features as well. It's a system of orderly migration.
Correct.
So with that being said, I mean, we just have a few minutes and we go to the news. Before we continue, we still have about five more talking points to cover within the next 30 minutes or so. Can it not be seen that, you know, we losing skilled persons in this country? Because what I'm thinking, right, while it's good for the amendment of the act in terms of immigration, having a free flow throughout the diaspora, I'm thinking, you know, if I can bring you from Guyana to do a job here, do I have not have anybody here nationally that can handle that for me?
Well, the thing is, in a competitive world, you're only going to be able to get that job if the person recruiting thinks that that is the best person for the job.
Mm.
It is not like they're depriving someone else for that recruitment process.
So you our nationals are free to apply for the same position.
Of course. Correct. It's free competition.
All right. So then here's my next question. This has to do with salaries, compensation and remuneration, right? So I am leaving my comfort zone to go to a foreign country to work. Periods. Is it different for CARICOM nationals as opposed to natives of the particular island?
Not at all.
I'm happy to hear that.
No, it's even competition. That's
so
it's,
pay is the same. Whether you're from Barbados, Grenada, you come here, you're not getting a different salary.
Correct. What? And this is not I've heard some people say, you know, this is a scheme to bring in cheap labor, all those. Mm-hmm. That is so wrong. You know, we have had consultations with the Ministry of Labor, all of the stakeholders, and everyone is bound by the same laws as a national. So, you know, this is not a system to allow people to be able to take advantage of people. When you have illegal migration,
I was getting to that.
That is when, you know, there are incidences where people can be taken advantage of. But when you have orderly migration, you know, the law
dictates.
Whether it's to pay taxes, to obey the law, all of those things.
Dictated by the law is mandatory and must be ordered. Because I was thinking, you know, we're having problems with people talking about the Venezuelans. No, that is not on our treaty, right, Venezuela.
Mm.
So we have these people coming into Trinidad and, you know, you will hear the talk on the ground. Yeah, man, the Venice doing that work. So you find a supermarket owner ain't want to take a national because I have to pay them this, but I can get a Venice to do the same work. So, you know, I was wondering if this migration would have been a situation where they get less because you're a foreigner as opposed to a national here and vice versa. But from what you're saying to me, it's an equal pay rate.
Yes.
It's fair competition. So the position is advertised to the region.
Correct.
So everybody could see
it. You could go through Caribbean jobs.
Caribbean jobs is there.
Yes,
and you're seeing what's available in Barbados and Jamaica and
correct.
All these countries. And you say, hey, I feel like I can apply for this.
Yes.
Exactly.
And you throw your hat, you send your CV through.
Yes.
And if they qualify for an interview, you get a plane ticket. It's on you.
Well, technology.
Yeah, technology.
Well,
Zoom, don't forget.
Zoom. My apologies.
Zoom.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
My apologies. The if nothing else coming out good of the pandemic, is this Zoom?
Yes.
And Zoom and
Teams.
Teams and Microsoft. Right.
Yes,
Google Meet.
Yes.
Skype. Well, Skype was always
so
kind of there. But I mean, I learned about Zoom. I just have meetings with my clients and I'd rather drive.
Exactly.
I mean, make sure.
In fact, if you set up a studio in your home, you don't even have to leave home.
You home? I just make sure my background looks good. You know? Pass them up. pull up my laptop and we have a conversation. And
right.
Serious business is taking place, serious deals. As a matter of fact, we have reached a stage in the world where we don't even have to go to physically put ourselves in line at TN Tech or WASA or Flu or Digis. We have to go and pay up. We sit on home, pick up this little device, and we pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of our talking points that we're going
that's
to
coming
come
up.
To after
yes.
the news.
Right. So it is so good. It is so good to know that we can. Now, my final question before we allow Satish to take over for the news is that when we arrive at these islands, do we have a boundary, a limitation?
Mm-hmm.
You said 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a forever and ever Jesus Christ? Or do I have to come in here and I have 6 months to work and then I have to leave this job and go back home?
Oh, no. So what you do, you come in at the port of entry, so immigration, you show them your passport and you show them your skill certificate. Within that 6 months, so CARICOM nationals, they have a definite entry of 6 months across the board.
Right.
Right? So within that 6 months, then the CARICOM national is told to go to the competent authority. So for example, in Trinidad, that's the Ministry of Foreign CARICOM Affairs. The immigration official will let them know to come to the to Foreign Affairs to get a certificate verified. So we then will have to be in contact with the competent authority in the sending state. So, for example, if it was a Barbadian national, so we'll contact Barbados, right? And they will let us know if that certificate is
authentic.
Is authentic.
And right.
After that, then they will get the indefinite stay period.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So we must, validate. Okay,
yes,
great, good.
Definitely.
Okay, so then an indefinite, yes. Okay, good. So we could stay.
All the checks and balances.
Must happen. Yeah. Not
must.
All right. Hi, good afternoon, Davey. How much of our CARICOM friends are here? And how much leave Trinidad and Tobago to go outside? I think you provided some stats with that a little bit. So you can just reiterate if you wish to help this texter understand, because they're messaging now.
Sure. Right. So for the period 2018 to 2023, we have given skill certificates to 1,741 TT nationals to go out. And to come in, we have received 205 skill certificates.
How much went out?
1,700
went out.
Yes, went out.
Yes, yes.
So there are more persons going out than those coming in.
Yes. And we have another interesting statistic that 60% are females and 40% are males. So women leaving, are taking advantage of the opportunities
and busting out of here
for work purposes.
We recently said of what are the benefits of the CSME skills certificate. Right. All right, that's one of our talking points, number six.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the skills certificate, what are the benefits of it? This is where we are at the moment.
Okay, sure. So there are no restrictions on freedom of movement, including the freedom to leave and re-enter the host country. Of course, we know that there is a wider pool of opportunities available for employment. Your spouses and immediate dependent family members are also allowed to move with the holder of the skill certificate. So they themselves don't have to get one. They can move with the holder. And of course, the main benefit that there is no need to obtain a work permit from the country when they enter.
Yes, yes, yes. And of course, it allows for TT nationals the opportunity to seek employment in a much larger regional market.
How can a CARICOM skilled national apply for a skills certificate?
Sure. So in Trinidad and Tobago, interested persons can go on our website. So that is the CSME webpage of the Ministry of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs website. They can download our application. It's online. And they would have to have mandatory documents such as filling out the application form, birth certificate, marriage certificate if applicable, a police certificate. And of course, you'll have to have the relevant qualification requirements putting into your category. And we didn't touch on the categories.
Well, that's what we're going to do now. Yeah, I was going to get to that now. Mm-hmm. So let's go through the different categories. I know we briefly mentioned some.
Right.
This is our talking point number four, ladies.
Mm, yes.
All right. So what are the categories? Let's go through them now of the skilled nationals. What are these?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The categories are university graduates, musicians, media workers, sportspersons, artists, nurses, teachers, artisans with a Caribbean vocational qualification, holders of an associate degree or an equivalent to associate degree, domestic workers, agriculture workers, and private security guards.
I saw private security guards being a part there. But what about laborers? Now, you mentioned everything is about skill.
Yeah.
So we call on we are on a construction site.
Mm-hmm.
We have a mason. That's a skill set. We have a carpenter. Mm-hmm. But they function with laborers. So laborers are the persons, they don't have the skills. They don't have the training, the university training. Mm-hmm. But they're the ones when we need to get some blocks.
Right.
While the mason is laying the blocks and doing whatever, he has a laborer bringing it in. Do we have anything in there for them?
Not at the moment, unless they have a NVQ, a National Vocational Qualification.
Or a CVQ.
Or a CVQ.
So they can, essentially, they can fall under the category of artisan, because artisan does apply to those laborers and those masons. Different, it has a, you, there's a bunch of different things that fall under artisans. So you can actually go on the CARICOM website and you can actually look at all the definitions. They have all the definitions there and you see all the different things
so
that
you
would
can
fall under artisan.
Yes, for example, a cake decorator would fall under artisan. A barber can fall under artiste.
An event planner.
Event planner can fall under
So I have a definition here for artisan. It's a snippet. So it's a skilled workman or craftsman. Such persons are craft and related trade workers who apply their specific knowledge and skills in the fields of mining and construction for metal, erecting metal structures, set machine tools, or make, fit, maintain, and repair machinery, equipment, or tools, carry out printing work, as well as produce or process foodstuffs, textiles, wooden, metal, or other articles, including handicraft goods. So there's a
that's quite a wide variety.
Yeah, that covers a lot. That covers a lot, you know, because we don't want to leave out anyone. And that seems to, you know, I didn't hear bus driver in there. Does he? Or drivers. I said bus as a joke, but let's say drivers.
A driver might have an NVQ. Mm-hmm. A driver may have a first degree.
Associate degree.
An associate degree.
So even for holders of associate degree or comparable qualification, and the comparable qualification is actually 2 A-levels. So even up to persons that have 2 A-levels, they can apply under that category.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
So it's not limited at all.
So it's not exactly. And that is why after the first 5 categories, they really try to broaden it. So it's not an elitist thing where you have to be a university graduate or anything like that.
Because
business needs a variety of skills.
I was not going to tell us. Let's be real. I mean, not everyone have the academic ability to retain information like this and sit down and study. It's a discipline, right, to actually sit down and study to prepare for an exam.
Actually, given a real-life example, we just had someone coming in from Grenada with a skill certificate under the category of holders of associate degree, and he came to be a driver at TT Rideshare. So, drivers.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very broad, very wide.
Wow. Interesting. Because I often study myself, all right? And I will never forget my experience at doing A-levels. And I remember 1 year into it, now I was doing some subjects such as sociology, economics, and American history. I was following some little girl, you know, back in school. Actually, I left it after a year because I was like, what am I going to do with economics? What am I going to do with sociology and American history? What am I going to do with this?
Right.
So I'm studying hard and trying to get it. And, you know, I realized what I was doing through the UNESCO program, it didn't make sense.
You followed your passion, though. Maybe you had an interest in those areas.
Well, no.
I did American history as well. That's why I'm saying
that. Well, I was like...
You should have become a diplomat.
Perhaps. You know, but I pursued aviation studies nonetheless.
Oh, excellent.
All right, to become a pilot and so forth. I will never forget my experience coming in from New York one evening, touching Guyana, and I was coming home. Okay. And I had like about $5,000 in the bank, and I was like, You know, I always wanted to be a pilot, boy. Yeah. It's something I always thought about. You know, it's one of my dreams, you know, dream jobs when I was younger. And I was working at TSCT at the time. And I remember saying, you know what? No, I needed 9,500 to get into the school. Just that's the base figure. Mm-hmm. I got in with my 5,000.
Wow. That was good.
I got in. And I was inside to get my PPL. And I worked hard. I remember I had to work, got my salary, pay out of it. I rack up a bill of $11,000 in flying time. And it was a lot. It was a lot. But I never gave up on my passion.
Yeah.
You know, and that was before I touched into radio. Media for me came. Yeah. That was back in 2004, 2005. I would have done flying and all those things and attained those things. And then I joined the media fraternity back in 2006. And since then, I continued to do the flying and everything else. And coming through the, you know, working TSCT, juggling a lot. Creating television programs. So, you know, it was a lot for me. And I remember when I stopped reading news, I was working at one of the stations and I didn't have news to do on a weekend because it used to be my morning show. And I used to have news every other weekend. Every weekend I was paid. And every day I'm going. And this one day I stopped. I didn't have that to do. And I said, what am I going to do? I had nothing to do. I had nowhere to go this Saturday morning. And I remember many Saturdays I vexed to get up off my bed. Because I reached the studio from 6 o'clock, from 7 o'clock news coming down all day. And it's like, what am I going to do next? You know, so I'm thinking, you know, persons who didn't reach that degree and those qualifications, is it that they're stumped? Is it that they can't excel in life? Is it that they don't have an opportunity?
No, not at all. And also, you know, these decisions on the list is made at the level of the Conference of Heads of State. And a lot goes into it. I know at the moment they're considering expanding the list. So everyone's looking at, you know, which other category we can give opportunity to.
And that brings me to my next point. As it when it comes to future state of the CSME unit, what else is the CSME unit working on?
Okay, great. Well, you know, the CSME unit, we're all about, you know, pushing the envelope. We began in 2020 with our modernization plan. It was 2020 to 2023. You know, we wanted a unit that was fit for purpose, that was focused on delivering service excellence to members of the public.
Mm-hmm.
We're very much aware that we are one of the units in the ministry that interface very regularly with the public, and we wanted to set a standard of excellence for the unit. And so we thought, how can we do that? How can we make this unit fit for purpose?
Mm-hmm.
So in alignment with the government's digitization plan, you know, our minister, Senator, the Honorable Dr. Amy Brown, he's very much about, you know, using digital technology to mm-hmm. make things efficient, to improve customer service, to really push the envelope so that, you know, the members of the public can access opportunities through the CSME unit from the comfort of their own home. So I'll tell you a few things that we did.
Mm-hmm.
So firstly, we updated our website. So it has all the information that you need, and I encourage people to visit the website.
Which is? Just give me the
www.foreign.gov.tt
mm-hmm.
and just look for the CSME platform.
All right.
And it's loaded with all the information that you need, and we revise it regularly.
Ever so often.
It also has all the links to other ministries, all the documents that you may need, and advisories for how to apply for a skill certificate. Then we digitized our appointment system. You know how it is. People go into government agencies and they expect that they're going to spend the whole day.
Yeah.
Well, we said absolutely no to that. We ensured that you can stay at home, you could go online, get an appointment, but the main thing is that your appointment could be at home. So you can sit at home and ask us questions about your application. You can upload your application form in advance. We will review it with you over the phone, or we'll give you a Zoom or mm-hmm. a Teams.
I like that.
A Teams link, and we have our interview. You don't have to leave your home. You don't have to come to the ministry. Also, it cuts out the likelihood of that back and forth. You know, mm-hmm. it drives me crazy if I go to a government office and they say, oh, you don't have this form. So I come back with the form and then they say, oh, you didn't bring mm-hmm. this. You know,
oh my God, that is sickening.
Out mm-hmm. completely. So we've digitized. We also put a chatbot where you can get information 24/7.
So you have someone working throughout the night mm-hmm. to respond.
We have someone during working hours, and then yes. the chatbot. We have uploaded every possible question you can ask about the CSME.
In the FAQs.
And then if it's not answered, it's knocked back to us immediately, and we answer it. Yeah, so we've made... we have a system where it's user-friendly mm-hmm. for the members of the public. You know, mm-hmm. we respect their time, we respect their finances, their effort, and we want to put services at their fingertips, at their disposal. So right now, we're working on one of the most exciting modernization structures. It will be the e-application. Right. So again, you will be able to upload all of your documents online, upload your photograph. You will be able to track your application like you would an Amazon package.
Yeah.
It's accepted. You get a reference number. You use that reference number to see where you are along that 6 to 8 week timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you need, say and this happens all the time, you accepted a job in Barbados mm-hmm. and your employer is expecting you at a certain time, but you just realize you need to apply for a skill certificate and you apply for one. You can go online, ask the ministry for a letter of comfort, and we would let your employer know that, you know, your application is in, it's pending, it's been reviewed by the committee, it's been recommended for approval by the minister, and so the customer is in charge of the process. It's fully transparent
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the customer has the power,
all right,
the oversight.
Well, that's great information. Somebody just messaged me here, and I don't know if they got information, but we did talk about it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They said, Davey, what about oil and gas skilled workers, riggers, crane operators, lifting operations, etc.? So they were asking. Now, I did. It's available because you all mentioned it. Miss Brittany mentioned it earlier,
yes,
that the oil platforms and stuff are out there for gas workers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also with the new list, that was one of the recommendations, mm-hmm. that we ensure that we cover that sector fully.
The energy.
Industry. Yes.
The energy
so
sector.
So that was a recommendation.
Now, I mean, we're about to wrap our interview. I mean, it's a hour would have gone, you know. We'd have yet nobody's want to leave and touch on this show. I know. But here's the question I want to ask you guys. Have you all ever had to turn down someone, and for what reason? Like, you apply for this skill certificate or for this thing, and you're like, you know what? You go through it, and it's like, mm-mm.
Since I have been in this position since 2020, the only person that was turned down was because the institution that he got his
accreditation
from was not accredited with the Trinidad and Tobago Accreditation mm-hmm. Council. They had not received accreditation from that organization.
So he
was fine. He went and he did another course from an accredited organization and came through. Yes.
So that brings me down to this. So there's circumstances when you can be denied. What about if you does your criminal pass mm-hmm. play a part? Because everything that you're asking for, they want a COC, which is a certificate of character. So I'm asking, you know, I may have made a jail. Mm-hmm. Right, I talking because somebody in a taxi right now listening and be like, yeah, boy, like me, you know, I wonder if I could apply. So this person would have, I can say I knew someone who spent 24 months in prison for larceny, breaking and enter. Mm-hmm. He broke in somebody's place. He was caught. He make a jail, as we were saying, Trinidad for 24 months. That's about 2 years, calendar years. He came out of prison and never returned to that life. Never. I see him, he is working now, he has a job, he started off at a little fast food restaurant and he has moved his way up. He bought a car recently. He has never returned. He said that experience was a wake-up call for him to know that that is not his lifestyle. So he broke in someone's home, got caught, was convicted, served his time. How does that affect a person trying to go through this, the CSME?
Yeah, that's difficult, huh? Because mm-hmm. you have someone who wants to turn their life around and would like an opportunity to do mm-hmm. so. At the moment, with the skill certificate, you need an unblemished record.
In order to be a participant.
Yes, but I mean, it doesn't stop you from getting work in Trinidad and Tobago.
In some instances,
mm-hmm. but unfortunately, it might preclude you at this time.
But is it something? No, I'm not putting. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but I'm hoping, you know, that if we can look at this in the near future, to help, because as we say, you know, citizens. I mean, we make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, things happened, and you know, I was just wondering mm-hmm. if it's there, and I'm happy so that persons will know, you know, some of the opportunities that you can miss if you end up in a life of crime or you find yourself in difficulties with the law. Where you come out convicted.
Yes.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So a COC is something that it was not mentioned. So I'm asking if you all look at that or ask the participant or the one that's applying
yes.
if they need to submit this.
Yeah, because that's in the domain of the Ministry of National Security.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, so the certificate of character is part of the application process,
okay.
and you have to apply to the Ministry of National Security.
Well, that's
that.
Good. That's good because you know we wouldn't want to bring in anybody with a criminal history into our country.
We don't want to be exporting
mm-hmm. and exporting persons when you get caught out there. We had a mm-hmm. and you get deportation. You had to come by here. Okay. You stress out me. You understand? So it's all about keeping your nose clean as young people, young adults. And really, you know, being able to take full advantage of this initiative, I think it's really good. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if I didn't have it successful here right now, comfortable, I might have thrown my hat out there.
But the thing is, you don't, like, I am getting my certificate of character because my skill certificate,
mm-hmm.
because I think it's really important to have.
To
you
have,
never know
yeah.
when an opportunity is going to come up. And, look at this scenario. I remember when Grenada had that hurricane and the place was decimated overnight.
Right.
If you needed to relocate yourself and your family, and you know, you needed that window where, you know, you were going somewhere else to work, you know, to add value to the economy, but you also were in a situation where, you know, you needed to just relocate, and you had your skill certificate. It'll be much easier than if you did not have one.
Does a skill certificate expire?
No, it does not. The skill certificate is matched to your passport, so you have to get a replacement when your 10-year passport expires, because it's linked to the
passport number.
Okay.
See, they're harmonized, the skill certificate and the passport number, but there's no expiry date on it.
Great. So once my passport is expired, then I have to, so I'm just basically renewing it to get the new number to match with the passport, so when I'm traveling, I'm good to go. So you're recommending it like a driver's permit. Remember my uncle many years ago, he said, listen, son, there are a couple of things. It's my mother's brother. He said, as a man, get your driver's permit in check.
Correct.
He says, try and get a heavy tea. I have extra heavy and all. So he say, in the event that you don't get the office job, as it were, and you have a family, you can still earn a dollar because you can drive, you can be on the road. He also said, get a passport. Make sure you get those things. Opportunities are knocking. You know, I have a passport. You got your passport. Whether you travel or not, renew it. If possible, try and get a visa. You may not be able to use it right away back and forth, but you have those things that you can function with. And you're now saying this skill certificate something that you should have every member of the family or those working, or is it a one? Well, I know you said the family can't travel with the person. But if both of you have it, it's good. It makes matters easy.
It's good for the youth. It gives them opportunities. You know, if you study in Mona or you studied in Jamaica, and, you know, after that experience, you thought, oh, you know, I want to stay here and get some work experience. Things like, you don't have to go through the process of a work permit. You have your skill certificate. You stay in there and you work for a couple of years. I mean, I've worked all over the world. And it's great, you know. It built me as a person, my character, my experience, my CV. You know, it's an excellent opportunity for the youth and for an adult, you know, wishing. You may wish you might get an excellent opportunity somewhere else in
the
region.
It's so true. I mean, I've been looking ever since I got this beautiful interview this afternoon on my show. I've been doing some serious research on the topic and really paying attention to what's happening, and I didn't realize that how many countries were involved. And the plethora of work, the array of work that's out there, the things, I mean, the opportunities are insurmountable. It's there.
Correct. Yes.
It is there, and I think I think from what you all explaining and what I read, it brings equilibrium across the Caribbean. It's balanced. It's fair.
And you know, our region has always had a history of migration.
That's
you
it.
You know, early on when Trinidad just discovered oil, how many people from all of the other islands? They are now second and third generation Trinidad nationals. You know, with links to all of the other islands, we are already integrated. This is just
this amendment
icing on the cake.
The icing on the cake.
This gives us legality to do so now, and a sense of comfort that I'm going to get deported.
Exactly.
And I can come back to my home country, because what I thought when I looked at the Proclamation Act, the Amendment Act, I said to myself, but this migration or integration, so forth, as we speak, we used to leave here and run to America. Because America was the land of opportunities only, so we could have only seen New York and America. Very rare we would have seen Canada and England started coming in within recent years, as you're going to pick apples in Canada, but everybody and the dog running up America.
Right.
When they miss your mother, somebody, where my mother in America working? We used to call them barrel children. They're growing up with a barrel, right? Send down sneakers.
And your grandparents.
And your grandparents. And everything coming for you in a barrel. So everybody, and I said this morning when I did my final research on this, hey, we no longer need to look at America as the land of opportunities, but the Caribbean.
Yes.
And I'm seeing certain countries really, I mean, we are saturated in Trinidad. We have 14 or something, how much radio station we have? We have a lot. But there are some countries, they need announcers, they need presenters.
The skills we have.
And you can go out there and grow, build yourself.
Yes, you can.
Get that work experience and come right back here and be a valuable contribution to this country.
In fact, it appeals to the diaspora as well, because we have so many diaspora members of our diaspora abroad. They've gained skills, you know, they want experience. To come back home. Like, for example, I was in London for 25 years.
Wow.
When I came back, I actually changed career because what I was doing, I was in the luxury fashion industry. They did not have anything comparable here and surely not a comparable wage. So I retrained and became a diplomat. But if I knew that if I had the opportunity to live and work in any other Caribbean country, I may have chosen another country where, like Barbados, they have a lot of tourism. I could have opened a fashion boutique, things like that, you know. So for it's a nice pull factor for our diaspora now, because, you know, someone who'd spent all their years, they have so many resources, they've just sold a home in Florida, they decided to come home, then with a skill certificate, you can choose
which Caribbean island that you would want to touch in. And
you can retire in, you know.
Yeah,
And you come back with your knowledge and your resources to build the economy or to add value.
And that is what I looked at. I found that was so good that we are able to do that. And I wondered about coming back home. You know, you don't even have to sell your home in Trinidad. Your property, you can maintain your property, have someone there, lease it out for a couple of years while you're out there and you're building yourself. And when you're ready to return home, the lease expires, you tell the person you're not interested in renewing your leases and they clear out and you come fix up your place and you
you sit comfortable. Go and come as you please.
Yes, you can go and come as you please.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is good. I know, so I'm excited about it. I knew the information before.
I expect to see your application coming in sharpish.
I was thinking to myself, you know, you're comfortable, so you know, why going to leave you and go Barbados and Dubai? Why going to start over? I mean, there was a point in my life I was looking at Canada.
Yes.
Canada was on my focal point. There was a certain...
cold.
Yeah. It is. But the opportunities was there. It was an auto plant I was looking at. Then I looked at other things and I said, you know what? Because I'm into television as well, and I create television shows and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm filming now.
We need that talent here.
The sad thing is that, boy, we do always appreciate it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That is the sad thing. We don't always appreciate it.
That's another show.
It's another show. Indeed it is, you know. So that was my concern, you know, that we are giving away our skilled individuals to CARICOM. We are, you know, sending them out there. Yeah. And are we going to have a brain drain? Are we going to be starving for this replacement? You know, that was my concern. And I'm happy that you all were able to clear it up.
Yeah.
Giving nationals the opportunity to travel regionally, get experience. You didn't just go for vacation, but you're now able to live among the citizens, see what it feels like, and then we can speak to the tune of you.